But if we're not burdened by what God has given us to do, and we feel indifferent, something's not right in us spiritually. You guys with me on this? Something needs to be done in our own hearts, because I don't feel that God is indifferent towards us and anybody else. I believe God has compassion on his people, that God, and so number one is this, that, you know, I said was Jesus saw the need, he wasn't indifferent about it. He just didn't say, and I think the mentality that we need to get away from is this, whatever. I think we just need to get away from that mentality. Number two is this, Jesus got a burden. I love this because he diagnosed the problem and explained what to do. He says, in verse 37, he says, then he said to the disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. He says, this is a big job. Where's all of our help? And everybody ever been on a job before and you're just working hard and you just wonder, where's everybody else at? Right? I'm telling you, there's certain days you're just working your butt off and you're wondering, where's the rest of the people at? This is what Jesus is pretty much saying. He says, there is more work to do. Why are we not doing this? And he's pretty much saying, why is everybody else indifferent to this? Because it's important that we go into the harvest, and yet people are eating last year's harvest. And he goes, why? Where are the workers at? He says, there are so few of us. And it's interesting because he diagnosed the problem. He says, where are they at? I'm going to put that 80-20 principle up there if you can. I was going back and forth on sharing this. This is a great illustration principle I want us to get. It's called the 80-20 principle. And it's, anybody ever used this in business before? It's interesting because you got to catch this. 20% of the people, if you own a business, this is true. 20% of the people that work for you do 80% of the work. If you own a business, raise your hand if you agree with us. Okay, there we go. That means 80% of the people do 20% of the work. This is almost true with everything in life. The people involved with church, the volunteers, 80% of the people do 20%. But the 20% do 80% of the work. Isn't this crazy? I can look at us. I've been part of like 3 or 4 different churches. This is volunteers. This is being part of something. This is even tithe and offering. This is 20% do 80% of the work. And what Jesus is saying is saying, listen, I know they're workers. Where are they at? And he's saying, even with life, he says, if you want the results, what if the church flipped it? What if we just said 80% of the people are involved or doing something that we're getting involved? This is why we did this hub. This was so many people did so many different things in this building. If you, I know some of you are new, but if you cleaned, helped, put down wood, raise your hand if you did anything in this hub during this process. Like, and some of you are not raising your hand, but a lot of you did. So, I mean, I'm just saying, yeah, a lot of you people are not raising your hand, but a lot of you did, because a lot of our church people helped out with this process. You took out pews, you painted, you did something, because it's interesting, because that's the rule of thumb. But what if we change it? So Jesus had compassion, and that compassion led to a burden. So here's the question. What's the burden that God has put on your heart? What makes your heart break? Sarah, who's going to come here next week, she was a school bus driver and a mom for two girls. And as she was doing it, you know, 10 years ago, her heart started breaking for the people who were in prostitutes and strippers and all this kind of stuff. So she says, I'm not going to just sit around and just hope that someone does something. Maybe God put the burden on my heart to do something about it. Jenna and Junior are not just saying, well, someone should reach North Minneapolis. Maybe someone else can do a dance studio. And then God put on their, the burden was part of their heart. So they said, maybe we should do something about it. The irony of life is that we're always praying for God to bring somebody to change something. Maybe that prayer request, and maybe you're the answer to the prayer that you've been praying the whole time. It's interesting because I think of my own life and just all the things that have happened. What has God given you a burden for? What has God has given us, my wife and I, a burden for this community to see life change in this, to add value, to be part of something. So what has God given you a burden for? Number three is this. Jesus had a vision. Jesus gave him a prescription for that burden. And when he says, he goes, the workers are few. He says, pray for the harvest workers to come in. So the question is, what can I do? The question is not, what am I called to do? Because here's the deal. A lot of us are called for great things, but sometimes we ignore a small thing because we're saying, that's just not what I'm called to do. Well, it doesn't mean if you're called it, if you can do it, let's do it. It's interesting. You see down here, it says, compassion will lead to burden, and burden will lead to your vision. And here's what I'm telling you. I have a vision for this community, but I wanted my burden for the community to lead that vision. If I just do it because I'm supposed to do it, I should no longer be doing it. But if I can go for a prayer walk in this community and my heart breaks for the people of this community and the neighbors and different things, this is what I'm called to do. Let the burden lead what God has called you to do. It's interesting. When you celebrate others, you are celebrating. Let the burden lead. Paul Harvey said it this way. I love this quote. He says, your career is what you are paid for, but your calling is what you are made for. Let me say that again. He says, your career is what you're paid for, but your calling is what you're made for. And so many people say, well, I'm not doing what I want to be doing. And I keep on telling people, don't you guys remember the season sermon that I preached like a month ago? You might not be exactly where you want to be right now, but I'm telling you, if you're in a season that you feel like you're in a winter season, do your best to do what God has called you to do in your season, and God will prepare you for that next season. I feel like so many of us, I get caught in this. I'm a vision person, and as soon as we get done with one event, I'm already thinking about the next event. I'm like, boom, boom, I'm on to the next thing. So for me to pull back and just say, and to live in the moment takes a lot of work for me at times, just to sit back and say, because I'm like, this is what I'm called to do. We got to go do this. We got to go conquer more. We got to go fight. But God is always saying, when you are so far in the future, you miss what's going on right now. And I wasn't even planning on sharing this, but let me share this quick before we close. When Moses was called to lead the slaves out of Egypt, now think about this. It wasn't just the soldiers. The Pharaoh let the whole Israelites go, even everything, animals that they had, the kids, grandkids, generations. He says, lead them. And so when they got to the Red Sea, he put up a staff, the seas opened up, and then Pharaoh and his soldiers went ahead and they walked through. Now I want you to notice a picture. As they walked through, the strongest and the fastest people made it to the other side first. And you get to the other side and we're saying, we made it! And then you look over and you see the little kids and you see the older people. Not that older people are slow, but you know what I'm saying? You get it. You see animals. You see people carrying these donkeys. You see things happening. And you realize we haven't made it because not everybody has passed. Just because you have the vision to see the other side, just because you want to bring your family over there, just because you see it, doesn't mean everybody's there with you. Part of the thing as a pastor is, just because I see where we want to be in 5 years, I got to bring people with me to get to the other side. Just because you live on the other side doesn't mean they live there with you. You got to help people go through the Red Sea, help them cross the other side. Even though you're there, you're trying to get people. Is this making sense? And I think as vision, you want your compassion. Compassion compels you. When you see people not on their side, the compassion goes, I've made it, but they haven't. I'm going to go back down and help them get to this point. Because you cannot bring people to a place that you have never been. The interesting about it is that in your spiritual life, we're trying to get to a place and we're trying to bring people, our kids and different people to a place that they need to be, but it's hard to bring them there if we're not there ourselves. And so when you cross the other side and you say, I see them, let's get everybody. And here's what it says in the scripture. The sea never closed up until everybody was crossed. Everybody. Everybody got to the other side. That to me is a miracle. Because somehow Moses figured a way to go back and keep on bringing people with him. Bring people with him. There's a story, if you can put that picture up of Christopher. This is a, when I talk about burden and compassion, listen, number one is compassion. God had compassion because he was with the people. Number two is his burden, because of the people, because he heard the stories, and because of this, it fueled his burden to reach. And then, which led to his vision of saying, there's more harvest to do. I read this story. I'm going to read the story about Christopher here. Some of you guys might know the story, but I'm not sure. It says, Christopher was playing basketball with his friends May 16th, 1998, when he was shot in the chest and a bullet hit one of his arteries. His friends helped him get within 40 feet of the entrance of the hospital and then went inside to ask for help. The hospital staff refused to help Christopher, saying that it was against the hospital's policy to administer aid to those outside the hospital. Eventually, policemen showed up to able to wheelchair him into the hospital where he could be helped by hospital staff. But because it took too long, it was too late, and Christopher died an hour later. I'm not sure if you know the story or not, in 1998. I don't remember it back then, but I remember hearing about it a few years later. How he was shot, brought within 40 feet of the hospital, and yet hospital policy was we couldn't touch him because he was not inside the hospital. The reason I say this is God forgive us as a church if we have done this with people in our own community. Is that we pray for the harvest and we pray for people to God to bring people, and yet people come. You guys know there's kids every Sunday morning who come to church with their parents, and maybe their parents have never read the Bible with them ever. And all of a sudden, people come. And I've been part of churches. I'm not saying this one because you're the best church in the entire world. But I've been part of places where people can't come in the door because they don't feel welcome, because they don't feel like they fit in, or because they're sinful, or because there's things going on that they don't look right. They don't look like you should look, or they don't do this way. And yet we say, we can't help them as they bleed to death. It's interesting to me because this is not who our Jesus was. If you look in Scripture again, go back to, can you put that verse back up in the very beginning? It says that every single person was touched and healed and restored. And he says he went to the villages and he says, come, come as you are. It's interesting to me because here is our Jesus going to the people, loving the people, touching the people, touching them where they're at. And they're able to come to the Lord, and he's saying, listen, well, we can't, he's not saying, I can't help them. They're too far away. I love what Proverbs says that says, his arm is not too short that it cannot save. He says, nobody's too far out of the realm that Jesus can't, God can't pull them back in. Because he's a good shepherd. Everybody stand up this morning. Worship team up here. It's interesting because, listen, I don't say this because I don't want us to have this mentality, listen, that we got to go right now. We got to do this right now. I just want this mentality like, do you understand that you are at your house for a reason? Where you live, the business that you are at, the business that you own, the place that you live, you are a missionary where you are at. It's interesting because even those who are in school or Bible college, I mean, any kind of college right now, even those who are in school right now or going to school, if the Lord is living inside of you, wherever you go, you are bringing the light of the Lord where you go. You go into the dark places. Maybe you go to work and it's just the most darkest place in the world. Maybe you wake up every morning just saying, I cannot be here. It's so dark. Can I remind you? A little bit of light is greater than any darkness. And if Jesus is with you with a light, as long as there's a little candle, you are bringing light to an area that is no light. If you weren't there, what would happen? If you were gone, what would happen? Some of you in this room, I believe, are in this point of God is uprooting things in your life. Things that you should, not that they're bad, but he's saying there's a change coming. And you're like, I don't know what God is asking me to do. Some of you are really going, some of you have been stuck for a few months, and you're just saying, I don't know what my next step is, but I feel like God is uprooting things. And I don't know if this is good or bad. I'm telling you, if it's the Lord, this is a good thing because he's preparing you for a new season. He's uprooting these things within you. I'm just going to say, allow him to uproot these things. So the question I have for you is this. Where is your burden for the things that God has put in your heart? And if your burden's not there, ask the Lord, God, what breaks your heart? Can I just tell you this right now? It's kind of easy to recognize those who know the Lord really well. You know why? Because the more time you spend with the Lord, the more you realize, here's his heartbeat. It's for people. People are the treasure. People are the treasure. So when you find those people who heartbreak for those who do not know the Lord, who heartbreak, you're spending time with the Lord and your heart just breaking because their heart becomes connected.